It's time now for The Best of Ourselves with Marcia Hyatt, who joins me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, CJ.
Are y'all batting down, ready to go?
I love snow.
Me too.
This is why we live here, right?
I know.
It's just that storm, we got the firewood in, and we're ready.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about creativity today. Actually,
okay.
When you're holed up for the storm, this might be a good time to do some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the assumption, is that we all have creativity in us, mm-hmm. which I know a lot of people really don't believe.
Oh, no. I totally believe that. And, you know, we were chatting just briefly before we went on the air. And, you know, I think when people hear that creativity, they think, you know, oil painter. They think sculptor.
Yes.
They
yes.
think in a very sort of artistic and narrow view. But creativity is so much more than that. I mean, I think about parenting.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
How you deal with about teachers.
Yep. The dilemmas that show up in our day.
Exactly.
Solving problems.
Yep.
How we decorate, how we prepare our food.
How we pack a good suitcase.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a problem to be solved. Right. And, you know, and it's true. I mean, I have had people adamantly push back. I am not creative. And yet, if you just open to that concept, the freedom it gives you, because then you can even create how you do your day. And I know for me, I grew up with an older sister who was, quote, an artist. She's 2 years older than I am. And so she was the artist, and then I was there. And so I would go to art classes with her, which are painting classes. And she was the one who clearly had talent. But I would go because I had a single mom, and she needed to like deal with two of us at the same way. And so I always had this thing, well, she's the artist, but I'm not the artist. And I'm not a painter. That's what the difference that became clear after a while. And what opened that up for me was this book. See how tattered my copy is, The Artist Way.
And all those little
post-it
tabs
notes.
On the end. Yeah.
Clearly, I've used this book. It's a course in discovering and recovering your creative self. And about 20 years ago, someone said, you know, you might enjoy this book. And this book is designed, it's like a 12-week course. It's designed to take you through, and she's clearly done this for many folks, to take you through a reflection process and some exercises to really help you discover, rediscover. Because we're all, have you ever met a two-year-old who's not creative?
No.
You know, we all had that. And, you know, a lot of folks may have had someone, you know, laugh at them or
that's all it takes.
I had a professor say, you're not a writer. So, you know, that voice stayed in my head. And yet creativity is so much more. The way Julia Cameron, who's the author of The Artist's Way, talks about it. Creativity is the nature of the order of life. Life is energy, pure, creative energy.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we use that energy more consciously? Ralph Waldo Emerson puts it this way. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So how do we tap that vast well of creative juices that we have? And so she has, this book is 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to do by yourself. I've done it many times. Actually, I've done it partway many times and a couple times in groups, and that's helped because 12 weeks is a long commitment,
mm-hmm.
yet it's quite powerful. Today, I want to talk about just two of her basic tools. If you don't do anything else, don't pick up the book. These two basic tools have been quite profound in their impact to me and folks around me. And so she says, if you're going to do this process, this is like the first week, you got to commit to doing these two things, morning pages. You've got to commit to every morning getting up, writing longhand for 3 pages. When they're sort of akin to clearing the pipes, as it were. Just get it out. And there's no wrong way to do it. It's not to be artistic. It's not to be good. It's just to whatever. You could be writing, I have nothing to writing about. I can't believe I have to do this. Did I commit to do this? I can't. Who committed me to do this? You know, you could be writing anything.
Yeah.
But that you just keep writing the 3 pages every day. And for me, what I had to set a timer sometimes to just keep the pen moving because I'd stare out the window and then I'd write, which is fine too. There isn't a wrong way to do it. She strongly encourages it in the morning because it's a way to start your day. And what you'll find if you were to look back at it is it's often negative stuff, you know, the kind of just, I have a headache, I don't feel like doing this, and oh, I got that meeting today, or whatever. It's often that, because I am who I am, mine were often lists of things I need to do that day, because I'm just, you know, activity-oriented. But in a way, and here's a quote that's in her book, it's by Ann Wilson Schaaf, you need to claim the events of your life to make yourself yours. And in a way, it increases your awareness of what you're thinking, and you're getting all that junk out, that sort of negative thinking. And don't worry about that. That's just kind of what it's for. It's just kind of clear things out. And what happens, though, after day after day after day, and I've done these most days over the last 20 years, not every day, but most days. And what happens over time is it clears the space for your non-dominant right side of the brain, the feeling imagery side. All of a sudden, this has happened to several people I know, something creative pops in. It might be a poem. It might be a way of thinking about something you hadn't thought of before. It might be just something really cool that you think, oh, I want to do that. It's just amazing how it can open up the possibilities of seeing things that you don't ordinarily see because you're so busy doing your life, right? So morning pages every day. And I had a friend, like I said, I've done this with groups a couple times. One of the women in the group bought a little notebook that was about 3x5. And that was, three pages for her bad day. She pulled out that little notebook. But I think she's thinking more notebook size, regular paper size.
Okay. And you said it had to be longhand.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, there is, and I've seen this too, there's a different connection in your whole body when you're doing it with the motion of your hand.
Okay.
So I'm not an expert on this, but I've heard there's a theory that it connects you to a different part of yourself versus keying it.
Right. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. I've just done it that way. Plus, it just feels more relaxing to me personally to do it that way. Not always legible, but I now have boxes and boxes and boxes of these old journals, which sometimes she suggests that you might just go through a few of them, which I have done. And you find patterns and you find, oh my, look at the story I've been making up here. Look at the, and you see creative choices that you didn't otherwise see. Mm-hmm. The second, so that's the one, the morning pages, three longhand pages every morning. And then, but don't worry, you can't do it wrong, and don't shame yourself if you miss. Just pick it back up the next day. The second one, which I am somewhat of a failure at, which is, she says, is critical to do, which is every week commit to an artist's date, which means you take a couple hours, you commit to a couple hours that week to do something that is just delicious, that just nurtures you in some way, and you need to do it by yourself. And it needs to be so it's solitary, and money and time are just don't count, because you can go out and just walk in the woods and pick up things, or you could pull all magazines from the recycle center and make a collage. You know, you can do anything that you think really fills you. And I know for me, what happens is, but I got so much really important stuff to do. But if we are really going to allow ourselves to grow in consciousness, get more creative in how we do our days, we have to also allow ourselves that fallow time and the refill time. And that's what this is. So, I used to, I'll go to the thrift shop and look around, or garage sales, or walk in the woods and pick up stuff and make a little something from it. Watching a movie alone is okay. Take my camera and go for a walk and take pictures of things I wouldn't otherwise see. I mentioned collaging, and I'll even sometimes sketch, and I am so not an artist, but sketching just makes me see things more clearly than I would have seen them before. This is a serious self commitment. It's like a date to yourself. And the way that this is Fritjof Capra, who's a physicist and pretty well known in alternative thinking circles, he wrote, "During periods of relaxation after concentrated intellectual activity, the intuitive mind seems to take over and produce sudden, clarifying insights, which give us so much joy and delight." And you know, when you do get that little space for creativity, you know, that little blip of energy that you can get when you get that creative idea, or you make a meal, or make something you haven't done, or decorate a package in a way. It could be in any little form. But the point is, every week, commit to taking yourself for that 2-hour excursion. And like I said, I haven't done terrific at this, but I'm still keep it on my list of things I intend to do. Because we each have creativity and we forget it. It gets squashed in different ways. We think creativity, as you said earlier, we think it's oil painting or it's sculpture or pottery. And yet there's so many ways to live our lives creatively. And with that access to the full of ourselves, the whole brain, the imagery and the feeling part, there's so much more opportunity and there's so much more excitement possible in our days. So, how do I live a little bit more creatively this week?
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.